What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, where you'll find out what the Fukushima's going on.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show, hour number two. And we're talking, obviously, about 9/11. It's the 17th anniversary. We're talking about Flight 93, which is the aircraft that ended its flight in Shanksville. And what you need to understand is that all of these four aircraft took off from gates whose security was handled by the same Israeli-owned company. And then they literally flew all over the inside of the country as far out as Ohio before turning back and heading for their targets. And not once were they challenged with a single fighter interceptor. They were just allowed to wander around, and two went into the World Trade Towers. One went into the Pentagon, and the last one, Flight 93, apparently was supposed to go into Building 7 to give it a reason to come on down. Because if you think about it, there was no reason for Building 7 to come down the way it did. But obviously, if it was pre-wired with explosives and cutter charges, they had to just bring it down anyway, or the whole story was going to be blown. So my theory about what happened on Flight 93 is, we don't know if there were really hijackers on the planes or if they were, in fact, being remote controlled. And this goes back to the comptroller of the Pentagon, Dov Zakheim, who before he was appointed by George Bush, he ran a company that built remote control systems for passenger aircraft, with the idea that were they to be hijacked, they could be brought down safely to the ground. One of the witnesses at the Pentagon, who was close enough to see the cockpit windows, said it looked like the flight crew were just struggling with the controls. So whether there were real hijackers or the planes were being flown by remote control, somehow the flight crew of Flight 93 got their aircraft back under control. And that would have produced a tremendous problem for the plotters of 9/11, because had that plane landed safely, what was on that plane would have blown the whole story, because it didn't match the official story. They would have found the remote control system. The flight crew would have said the plane was taken away from us, or they would have had whoever purported to be the hijacker. So I think it was shot down. And there is one witness near Shanksville who reported seeing Flight 93 being followed by a warplane. And again, the wreckage from that plane was spread out over 8 miles of countryside. That only happens when the plane comes apart at altitude. Okay, so we're still talking with Dustin. And Dustin, what say you?
Mike, remember Wayne Manchin even said there was a CIA airfield where they can make different planes and add engines and this or that to use that. And Dov Zakheim is involved in this. They're involved in this, Mike. I mean, Donald Rumsfeld with the day before. The day before was, like, pivotal to say what he said with the missing and then the plane flies around the Pentagon and flies into the where they're doing the auditing. Come on.
Yeah,
now.
That was kind of a little bit obvious. It flies around the Pentagon and actually hits where they're trying to find where that $2.3 trillion went away. Somebody got away with a trillion-dollar robbery.
But not only that, Mike, but somebody got away with mass murder. Because this was, Mike, this was not about that. It might have been partially about that, but it might have been two operations. But this was about this whole PNAC thing. That's what I think it is. It's all about Project for New America. This is what it's about. Because what you see now up until Syria, Mike, is what's going on. This is what 9/11 was about, is this whole hegemonic crap going on. And it's, Mike, it's lead us to... Mike, I just got to say one more thing before I hang up. There's a report that there's this kid on Twitter. He was 16, and he said he wants to be 17. He's asking Donald Trump for help because the Syrian and the Russians are going to kill us all in Idlib. But this kid also did the same video from Ghouta. So this is orchestrated, Mike. I'm telling you, like... We're headed for disaster.
Propaganda is big business right now. You know,
yeah, I mean,
propaganda is the only part of our economy that's actually still working.
It's scary, Mike, because these people just don't care what's going to happen. You know, this is like throwing the dice out and see what happens at this point. This is what we're down to.
Like. It does feel like that. It does feel like that. They're behaving like, you know, mobsters, organized crime. You know, do what we tell you or bad things will happen to you. All right, Dustin, we're going to let you go. The phone lines are loaded up. I want to give everybody their chance here. Al in Canada called back in. Apparently, we had a technical issue that cut him off the last time. So, Al, welcome to the show. What is on your mind?
Hi, Mike. So, yeah, getting back to this whole thing, you know what? It doesn't matter what you think or I think or anyone else thinks. What really matters is there are actually people out there that have spent a lot of money on their education with a heavy science background, heavy science and math background, not a BA in sociology, but, you know, real people that think, and they're called architects and engineers for 9/11. And they know for a fact and have proven beyond a reasonable doubt that what happened on that day was absolutely not possible. There is no way those three buildings could have fallen the way they did. It just simply couldn't happen. Now, getting back to what Dustin said about that $2 trillion that Rumsfeld said was missing or they couldn't account for, it's now ballooned to $21 trillion between 1998 and 2015. And Forbes just put out, you know, a month ago, did a an article on this and said, is our government intentionally hiding $21 trillion in spending? Are they?
Or, I think the answer would definitely be yes. I mean, if you think about
was it stolen?
I think it's being spent on wars we're not supposed to know are going on because we're in seven officially acknowledged conflicts right now. But Bernie Sanders a while back came on out and said the U.S. actually has military in 76 nations. And obviously they all require funding. And so I imagine that $21 trillion is money being spent on conflicts that we, the American people, are not supposed to know are going on.
That's disgraceful, you know. It brings me back to a friend of mine. He dabbles in, you know, you probably heard of this flat earth theory nonsense. And he thinks that, you know, the government is spending all this money building underground bunkers or colonizing the moon or something because they know something that we don't know about Planet X and all this nonsense. I'm not saying it couldn't happen, but I'm just saying it's kind of, you know, out there, right?
Yeah, but again, that stuff is being planted on the internet to try and make the internet look less credible than the corporate media. And right now, with the corporate media's credibility in the basement, they're getting really desperate. And so, yeah, this flat earth nonsense is out there. They keep bringing back Planet X every once in a while. At least they've stopped claiming the Apollo moon landings were faked now that the landing sites have actually been imaged by so many different spacecraft. But that's the real purpose of it, to try and make the internet look silly so that, you know, ordinary people will stay away from those weird internet kooks who talk about, you know, directed energy weapons and micro nukes and cold fusion bringing down the World Trade Towers. But once you understand that this is a real propaganda tactic and it's called poisoning the well, you begin to understand people are working around it. They're looking at what's going on out there, like the claim there was no plane at the Pentagon, and saying that's obviously part of the kookification process. We can now discard that and move on. And again, there is just so much evidence as to what actually did happen there in Manhattan and at the Pentagon and at Shanksville.
Yeah, I know. I watched it. I watched all that stuff happen. It was crazy. And there were actually firemen and policemen saying there were explosions. They heard them.
Yes.
And those firemen saying it looked like a controlled demolition. Boom, 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 boom. These people aren't idiots.
That's in the Nardé Brothers documentary as well. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, there you go. I mean, September 11 all over again. and the official story will never change, Mike. 50 years from now, when we're dead, that'll be the official story. Even though
that'll be the official story. It could even get worse. You know, if they succeed in making Holocaust denial a crime, you know they're going to follow up. 9/11 denial is going to be criminalized. TWA 800 denial is going to be criminalized. Vince Foster suicide denial will be criminalized. That's where we're going. That's what we lost on September 11th was our right to our own opinion. Anyway, Al, we're going to let you go. We're going to do a shout out to our honor affiliates who are rejoining our network. And we're going to go to John in Austin. Aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hi,
John in Austin.
Yeah,
I hear you now.
Can you hear me? All right. In 2003, I started working with a guy. He was he took early retirement as a maintenance supervisor from the University of Texas. And we were sitting having lunch one day, and he just happened, for no reason out of the blue, started telling me this little story that they had taken delivery of a new HVAC system for the UT complex, which was a big, big job. And they were contacted by the management of the World Trade Center, who were in a desperate hurry to install a similar system or the same system to the World Trade Center. It turned out that the people at UT said, no, you can't have it. You're going to... Because apparently they had obviously contacted the manufacturers and weren't willing to wait as long as it was going to take for them to supply this. So that was just something I heard all those years ago, and it's always stuck with me. And, of course, my immediate thought was, well, what better an opportunity to plant explosives in those buildings if you're going to be fitting a new HVAC system?
So, well, that was one way to do it, but the fact of the matter is that the two towers had a lot of vacancies. There were completely empty floors. And,
yeah, I know.
There, in the weeks before 9/11 happening, there was a lot of noise coming from those supposedly empty floors, to the point where tenants were starting to complain. Dust was starting to sift down from overhead from all the hammering that was going on. And apparently there were work crews that were working on those supposedly empty floors who had their own elevator secured with a key card. Nobody else could use it. And the final thing that got a lot of people wondering what was going on is the weekend before 9/11, the power was shut off to the towers, ostensibly to fix something with a security system. But there were a lot of signs of activity around the World Trade Towers leading up to 9/11.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, that's all I got, man. Yeah. Cheers.
All right. Thanks an awful lot. We're going to switch over to Richard, North Carolina. And Richard, I hope you're well away from the coast. What's on your mind?
Oh, yeah, I am. I'm up in the mountains. Hopefully I'll live.
Good.
Now, I just wanted to thank you for dealing with this subject today. In a way, it was kind of semi-sweet in a way for me, because I was involved in that issue fairly early on, around 2003 or so, and became aware of it with one of the early videos, which clearly showed that it was not as it was told to have been. And I became one of the first five members, actually, of Scholars for 9/11 Truth, which later evolved into Architects and Engineers and all that other stuff. And so I dealt with that. So that information for a long period of time, and then and at the same period of time that I was involved in that, I came across the Franklin affair, which just again boggled my mind completely about what was going on in this country. And I don't have anything great to say about all the evidence and whatnot. You've already covered that really well. But the perfidy, the absolute evilness of it, and the realization, you know, with respect to the Israeli involvement and all of that, just really, I guess it led to, for me, not a major depression. You know, psychologists aren't supposed to become majorly depressed, but it really dampened my life for a number of years. And I hadn't thought about it. Probably there are newer things to think about, you know, that
yes.
are equally hideous. And I became more concerned with those, but I really appreciate the fact that you've covered it in such detail and depth and brought back part of my consciousness that I think I may have unconsciously tried to suppress because it was so hideous. And it needed to be out in the open.
It was very evil. I mean, there are evil people out there. And what's really interesting is you have Americans who fell for the official story, who are perfectly convinced that all these people in Afghanistan could be that evil. And yet you suggest that our own government could be equally evil. And then, never our government. We're the good guys, you know. And that's part of the brainwashing that, you know, our government is good and every other government on earth is evil. Anyway, listen.
Last comment. Our government is so incredibly evil.
Yes.
That it beggars description. And that's my last comment.
All right. Well, thank you very much for the comment and for the phone call. And we're going to switch over to Jim in Harbor Springs, Michigan. Aloha. Welcome to this show. What's on your mind?
Hey, Mike. I always love your program. I've got a couple things I'd like to add. I remember, in fact, I did a three-hour show on 9/11, and my first interview was with Susan Lindauer. Are you familiar with Susan?
I've heard the name.
Yeah, well, anyways, CIA, she was the first woman arrested under the Patriot Act because she knew her cousin was Andrew Cord, George Bush's chief of staff. And
yes.
She testified that they knew about the planes hitting buildings, what have you, at the end of the Clinton administration. And she was updating her cousin because she was dealing directly with the Libyans and the Iraqis in back channels. But they knew about the fact that planes were going to be hijacked and what have you. She knew about it. The CIA, Richard Fuse was her CIA handler. She was going to go to Congress because they knew prior that the planes were going to be hijacked, and she was the first one arrested on the Patriot Act, spent a year in prison. But I guess the point I would like to make, if I could please, is that there was an interview with Mayor Giuliani by Peter Jennings before the Building 1 and 2 collapsed, okay? And what he said is that he was in the Emergency Response Center, which is in Building 7, okay, right after the plane set. That's where he went to handle the emergency for the city of New York. There was also another black gentleman that was with him. And what Mayor Giuliani admitted when he was talking to Peter Jennings was that he was trapped in Building 7. This is before the towers collapsed. They were trapped in Building 7. And the black gentleman who was up there with him, and I can't remember his name, he died about 2 months after this, but he had testified that even before the buildings collapsed, they were trying to get out of Building 7, and the stairways were being blown out underneath them. That's what trapped Giuliani. And Giuliani also said, when he was talking to Peter Jennings, that we have been told that Tower 1 and Tower 2 are going to collapse. This is before they even collapsed, for the first time in history. The second thing I'd like to mention is the young lady...
Well, before you go there, Giuliani was on record because he did get out of the building, obviously. Everybody said, why was Building 7 evacuated when it wasn't even hit by an airplane? Giuliani said that they were told the building was going to collapse very soon. And then he backed up later on and denied ever being given that warning because everyone wanted to know who issued that warning. Who, you know, was prescient enough to say that Building 7, which had not been hit by an aircraft, it only had a few office fires going on, who knew that it was going to collapse? And they clammed up on that one.
Well, and the second thing, the young lady who called us said there was no heat in the 9/11. In my research, it was about 3 or 4 months I took to do this three-hour radio program, but I came across this video that was taken right after the collapse of 1 and 2 by an independent journalist with his cameraman, and they were like blocks away from the...
Jim, I got to put you on hold. Don't go away. Don't hang up. I want to hear this story, but we have to do it after this commercial break. We'll be right back.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. It really does work like the review says it does. I cannot believe that after the first few days, I didn't feel as sluggish or clogged up. It has had a profound impact on my physical, emotional well-being. I'm skeptical as most people about products and their claims, and I never write reviews, but this is a wonderful product and I recommend it to everyone. Great product. It has brought my blood pressure from the mid-150s over the 80s to the mid-130s over mid-80s. Along with diet and exercise in just the past couple of months. Excellent. Thank you, David. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
You've got the money, honey. We got the bombs. We'll plant them anywhere you like and blow up anyone. Whip this world into a frenzy, killing babies, dads, and moms. If you got the money, honey, we got the bombs. If you got the money, well, we won't say we did. The towers in New York.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. And we're talking with Jim in Harbor Springs. And you had a story to share with us about, I guess, a film crew?
Yeah, it was just a gentleman, independent, I guess. I think he was independent. But he was walking down the road two, three blocks from the World Trade Center. And actually it was one of the roads that was actually right next to the building number 7. The amazing thing about this video is right after the collapse of Tower 1 and 2, and you remember those pyroclastic clouds that just went crazy after the building collapsed, you know?
Yes.
Those are really caused by immense heat, you know? But if you look at the videos, it's called Amongst the Rubble. Amongst the Rubble, okay, you get on YouTube. But he shows three blocks of cars, buses, and trucks. And all these vehicles, they aren't on fire. Whatever happened when the buildings collapsed, that tremendous heat just evaporated everything that was flammable on all these vehicles. And the metal is charred and wrinkled. There's not a door handle. There's not a tire. But it's not on fire. It's not on fire. It evaporated everything that was flammable on that. And all the buildings on that street were exploded inward. Okay, all those buildings suffered major damage. So it'll show you that whatever was in that building, but there's also a crew from Copenhagen, seven scientists, who did an evaluation of the dust from the World Trade Center collapse, okay? And what they found was nanothermite. And
yes,
I did a lot of research trying to figure out, okay, nanothermite, what is that? And the scientists said, we have regular thermite, which is really, really, I mean, crazy stuff that burns through an engine in a matter of seconds. But nanothermite, the scientists said, is created from the atom up. Very small particles, okay? Now,
yes,
the nanothermite, because it's such small particles, is extremely flammable, explosive, okay? And I guess what I'd like to say is that the World Trade Center was even, I guess the gentlemen who were doing the cleanup said they didn't find a desk. They didn't find a file cabinet. They didn't find a computer. They didn't find freezers, you know, which would be in restaurants and everything. Everything in the World Trade Center, the only thing they found was a little piece of a cell phone. So all the desks, everything in there was pulverized immediately, just like the cars on that street, okay? Everything was pulverized and gone. If they never found, you know, like the 1,000-some-odd people that died in the collapse of the World Trade Center, but they did find, in the Deutsche Building, they found 10,000 bone fragments of probably the people that died during the major explosion. So, yeah, there was ash, absolutely. But I think it was nanothermite. In my investigation, I searched really hard, and I found out that the only place that created nanothermite, which is a component, we have iron and we have aluminum, the only place you could find nanothermite at that time in the United States or the world was a laboratory owned by the U.S. Navy. So,
yes.
There you go. There you go, my friend.
It's nasty stuff here. And basically what it is, and there are other people who confirm the presence of nanothermite in the debris and dust from the World Trade Centers. And what makes nanothermite unique, besides the small size, is they literally bond the aluminum to the iron oxide. So it's in a single little microscopic flake. And that makes it far more efficient at combustion than a simple mixture of the powdered aluminum and the iron oxide.
I didn't know that. Thanks for that, Michael. I appreciate that.
And, yeah, there are micrographs of that stuff that are out there as well. So anything else?
No, I just love your show, and God bless America, and, well, God knows. But, yeah, 9/11 is an inside job. What can I say?
All right. Well, thank you very much here. And we're going to start with James in Sacramento. James, I'm probably going to have to take you through the commercial break, but what's on your mind?
Yeah, Michael. Hey, good to hear from you. And I'm sure you're pretty busy today with everybody talking about 9/11.
Yep.
I was just wanting to tell you about where I was and on that morning. And it was, I just started a job at the city of San Jose. And I was driving this big old truck, 10-wheeler, that had this big old fuel tank on the back of it. And we were starting out early because we had to go out and lube up and fuel up all these things that were doing those gravel things that cover the roads. And we're listening to the radio. And, you know, and somebody hits the World Trade Tower. I'm like, what, is it all foggy out there? Is it, you know, some airplane in the fog or something, you know? And then, you know, after we're in the truck actually driving, another plane hits the... It was like, okay. Here was the first thing I said, Michael. I said,
okay, Jim, I got to put you on hold. I got to put you on hold. We'll be right back after this commercial break.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Thank you. Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
I'm getting older and noticing that my body just doesn't work as well as it used to, so I like to keep fit as possible by hitting the gym a few times a week. Recently, I started having a nagging bicep pain, and it got so bad I couldn't even lift the weights. When I was complaining about it to a friend, he told me about Angioprim. He said chelation helps remove toxins, heavy metals, and cholesterol in veins and arteries that may cause blockages. You know, after just 1 week of taking Angioprim, the pain was gone, and now I'm back in the gym full strength. Scientific research proves the active ingredient in Angioprim has superior oral chelation action that helps promote cardiovascular health. So to learn more, go to angioprim.com. That's A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M.com. Or talk to a trained consultant. Call Angioprim toll-free at 877-882-7221. You'll feel better with more energy. Call 877-882-7221 or go to the website angioprim.com.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. We're talking with James in Sacramento, and apparently James is recounting where he was when he first saw that 9/11 was happening. Like I said at the top of the show, it's one of those moments where you're always going to remember where you were when it happened. So, James, if you could finish up your story.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, brother. We had to get up early because of that thing. But, you know, once we got done with that, they had us at the airport. And they wanted us to take care of all the equipment at the airport to make sure it was all functioning and fueled up and everything. You know, it was really tricky. And then the other part was how quiet it was for 2 weeks.
Yes.
I lived in a house where they used to come, the incoming landing jets used to come in just off the side of my house, you know, and there was 2 weeks where it was just dead quiet. I mean, it was really trippy.
The passenger airlines were grounded for a couple of days after 9/11, and after that, people were just afraid to fly. And the airlines all took a major, major economic hit, especially the airlines actually involved with 9/11. And somebody made a killing by short-selling those stocks before 9/11 happened. And the SEC investigated and found nothing.
That was my next thing that I was going to say was, you know, talking about how the mainstream media never talks about how Silverstein and Rumsfeld and Cheney and all those other characters that were all in that scene, you know, and no one talks about any of that stuff. I'm watching this stuff on the History Channel, and it just makes me laugh how they just cover it up, and it's like, yeah, it was some guy in a cave in Afghanistan. I mean, and I'm sorry, Michael, but I just can't buy that. I mean, it just, as much money as he had with his family, I just can't buy that, you know. And then,
that's another reason to doubt the official story, because, you know, the Bin Ladens are a very wealthy family. They're into construction. They do a lot of work for the U.S. government. Osama Bin Laden's older brother, Salim Bin Laden, was actually business partners with George Bush Jr. in an energy company called Arbusto that went bust. And then Salim Bin Laden died in a small airplane crash, which tends to happen a lot around the Bushes and the Clintons here. But throughout all of his youth, Osama Bin Laden was just an ordinary kid with a lot of money, and he loved sports cars, and he dressed in contemporary. And then all of a sudden, he becomes this figurehead for the Mujahideen. And there are videos of him being taught how to fire an AK-47.
Didn't that have something to do with Charlie Heptos or whatever, where they were fighting the Soviets?
You mean Charlie's War? Yeah.
Was that Charlie Heptos or whatever?
Osama Bin Laden was working for the CIA. His code name was Tim Osman. And he was there, the CIA's point man, doing all of that. And then apparently, despite being presented to the world as this incredible terrorist threat, CIA officials met with Bin Laden when he was in the hospital in Riyadh, because even then his health was failing. And nobody knows what they talked about.
Liver, some kidney disease or something,
But the CIA basically left without taking him with them. And I think it was there they said, boy, are we going to make you famous. And so they gave him the blame for 9/11. And that's another reason to be suspicious of this whole story. I mean, the dust had hardly settled around the World Trade Centers when all the corporate media was saying, oh, yeah, it was Osama bin Laden. It was Al-Qaeda. No question about it. And bin Laden himself came on out and said, no, I had nothing to do with this. And then, of course, a few months later, he passed away.
Yeah, and then 4 years or 5 years later, they killed him.
Yeah, or somebody who looked like him.
Yeah, that was the other thing. But anyway, I always go back to the part where you always say, look for what should be there that isn't. And that's one of the things. I mean, I look at this stuff, 9/11 and all the insanity around it and all the money that was, you know, all the money and power that was shuffled around with all of that. I mean, my God, Silverstein was like one of the biggest beneficiaries. And it's just a coincidence that he bought it 2 weeks before the planes hit it, you know.
Well, I don't think it was that close on the timeline. But another indicator, of course, is that these Israeli-owned shipping companies, Zim Shipping, had their offices in the World Trade Center for years. And 6 months before 9/11, they broke their lease and paid a huge penalty to move their offices across to New Jersey.
See, that's what I'm saying. And over the years, I've looked into all these different things that have come up. And that's just one of them. I haven't heard about that one, but I've heard of a bunch of other things. And wait, is it just a coincidence that, you know, that these people, like, you know, bought their puts or moved their company, or, you know, the plane that hit the Pentagon was right, just happened to be right there where they were doing the audit for that $500 billion that was missing or whatever.
$2.3 trillion.
I mean, it just... How many?
2.3 trillion with a T.
Yeah, that was with a T. I keep forgetting that. I'm such an old guy. I keep thinking in the millions and billions. That's right.
Yeah, these days that's pocket change.
In the trillions.
Anyway, James,
all right. Really appreciate it, and I'm sure you're busy today. So, you know, once again, you know, aloha and mahalo.
Aloha, mahalo. We're going to let you go and switch over to Russell in Austin. Russell, thank you for waiting so patiently. What's on your mind?
Aloha. Just wanted to mention.
Aloha.
There's a really good book on this subject called Solving 9/11. It's the most specific one I've ever read as to who was involved and what they did. It's by Christopher Bolin, and it's really worth reading. There's a couple of things I wanted to mention. Dov Zakim, he also was a director of a company that leased aircraft to the U.S. military, and they could be used as tanker aircraft as well as troop carriers. And so I think it's possible that what hit was one of Dov Zakim's remote-controlled tanker aircraft. So,
okay, let me ask you a question here. Ask you a question here, because this, again, is part of the let's keep the discussion confused and looking silly. Is it possible that something else was substituted for the passenger aircraft that hit the Pentagon and the World Trade Towers? Maybe. What would be the motive? Because wouldn't it just be easier to cram the passenger jet into the Pentagon, into the World Trade Towers, into Building Number 7, and then all the forensics match? You don't have to take the risk of somebody uncovering the deception and blowing the whole operation. This gets back to that whole thing. Look for what should be there and isn't. And in this case, what isn't there is a reason for there to be any kind of a swap or subterfuge, because it's all risk and no upside. You still have to get rid of the passenger jets. You still have to get rid of the passengers who are on board. The simplest course is just go ahead and plow those airplanes into those buildings.
The only advantage I was thinking is, one, it would already be remote control because they already do that with their planes. And also that it would be a tanker aircraft, so it would make a bigger bang. But it could easily have been a passenger aircraft. I'm not really dogmatic on that. But as far as pre-knowledge, Al Franken wrote in his book, Lies and the Lying Liars That Tell Them, that he was warned by Ed Koch not to go to the World Trade Center on that day. And
Larry Silverstein ate breakfast every morning at that restaurant up at the top of the building, but was not there on 9/11. Ashcroft stopped flying commercial airlines in July of 2001, saying there was an unspecified threat.
Willie Brown, who was the speaker, the California Speaker of the House, said he was told not to go to New York on that day. And concerning bin Laden, some people claim he died in December of 2001 of Marfan syndrome. And as far as pre-knowledge, there was this small Israeli firm, some kind of tech firm that was located near there. And they told the FBI that they had received some kind of message saying, don't go to work that day. And so there's pre-knowledge. As far as the black guy who died shortly after World Trade Center 7 fell, his name was Barry Jennings, and he had something to do with New York Homeland Security. And he evidently was talking too much and wound up dead.
That happened to a few people.
Solving 9/11 is really worth reading. It's worth the time. It goes into great detail about who did what. Names like no other book I've read. But that's about it.
Well, yes. Yeah, okay. Well, thanks an awful lot for the phone call, and we're going to switch over to Mark in North Carolina. Mark, I hope you are also well away from the coastline. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I'm up in a mountain, too, like that other guy, so hopefully we'll be okay. Anyway, what I wanted to say is one thing today, I've decided I was going to listen to some mainstream talk just to see what the enemy is saying. You know, what you call conservative talk, which really isn't conservative. Yeah, I was listening to Sirius XM, and David Webb was on. I don't know if you know who he is, but anyway, and I managed to call. I managed to call to get through, right? And I said, you know what? We're right now, we're saying Al-Qaeda, you know, did 9/11, and yet right now we're getting ready to be the Air Force for Al-Qaeda there in Syria. So, another second, he right away cut me off. He put me in a mute button and then started shouting. And we're not going to have that kind of talk on this stuff. It's not what this show is for. So something like that, and hung up and just started talking. But it didn't surprise me. I expected something like that. I didn't even think he would put me on, because I told the call screener. Maybe the call screener didn't tell him what I was going to say. But anyway, I even gave a fake name. I said my name is George from Maine. So, because I called before, you accused me of being a conspiracy theorist. That was after the bombing of the Libyan airfield. Bombing of the Libyan airfield. So anyway, but the other thing I wanted to say is Fox News, what I call a fake news network now, but back around 2011, and you can see this stuff, this is still on YouTube, no matter how YouTube tries to get rid of it. You see the Carl Cameron, one of the Fox News reporters, doing an exclusive on the Israeli spy, right after 9/11, Israeli spying on the United States, and kind of hinting that there might have been something wrong. And also, I believe he talked about the so-called dancing Israelis, too. And the fact that they
were... Well, yeah, they were part of the same story, because Carl Cameron got a U.S. government official to acknowledge there was these dancing Israelis were linked to 9/11, but that information was classified by the U.S. government.
Yeah, exactly. So, I don't know what happened to Fox News. They've just become a lackey for the...
Well, they got bought out, and the new owners have an agenda. Anyway, Mark, we got a lot of callers still waiting on the line. I'm going to let you go, and I'm going to switch over to Keith. Keith, aloha. Welcome to the show. Thank you for waiting. What's on your mind?
Yeah, Mike, I was just going to say this real fast. In 2001, I was at the pinnacle of my satellite TV installing, and I was probably making about $1,000 a day installing for Dish and DirecTV and also Primestar, which was converting over at the time. Anyway, you'd go into bars and stuff as 2003 came around, and you'd see people cheering at these old war generals like it was a football game, as if they're narrating this football game as they attacked Baghdad. But the important thing I wanted to bring out, like the B-25 that hit the Empire State Building in 1945, it did about $13 million worth of damage and was open the following Monday there. But there's also Stark Aerospace, the Israeli company that had the patent on all the remote control for the 707 through the 767 planes. But there's something really important here that I catch out of this entire thing. We can bicker all we want about who did what and where like that, you know, but the important issue is that Americans or those behind that were willing to kill Americans, regardless of how many thousands it was, to promote their agenda. And I'm probably going to run into your break here, but Nikki Haley had yesterday tweeted out, she says, on September 10th, as part of the U.S. presidency of the U.N. Security Council, I will convene the first ever Security Council meeting that will focus on corruption and its consequences for conflicts around the world. So I retweeted back to her, and this is a flashback. This is not back to 1992, where U.S. bombings hit 28 civilian hospitals and 52 community health centers over in Basra. The Allied bombs damaged 676 schools, 38 were totally destroyed, 8 of those which were in parts of universities. The mosque and other religious buildings that were hit, historic sites, were not even immune to the U.S. attacks. And it goes on here, talking about all the destruction that was done like that. And so in line with what I was saying there, killing 3,000 Americans to promote a Middle East agenda at whichever time period, which is like Syria today, and looking at Raqqa, you know, if you take a photo of Raqqa and you just turn it into black and white, it looks like Dresden.
Yes.
You know? And the issue is there are those in power that are willing to kill journalists, insiders at DNC, whatever like that. They are willing to kill Americans for their agenda, and that's the most important thing that most people don't realize. And so that's why whenever I've been laughing with you over the years like that about why I'm so against this pluralism, we, our, you know, I can't stand for this stuff where they sit there and say, well, yeah, well, we're over in Iraq right now. Well, no, I'm not in Iraq. I'm not firing a rifle. I'm not launching a mortar or anything like that. I don't back these illegal wars. And I thought of this laying here the night there. The weed was good, by the way. But I thought, what would you do if your neighbor was fighting with his wife and he came over to your house and says, boy, he says, that woman's out of control. She's just ungovernable. Hey, can I borrow your gun so I can kill her? And you say, sure, and you hand him the gun. And he goes over there and kills her. Well, if this came down to a court case like that, would you be liable in any way for aiding and abetting in the murder of that wife?
I would say so, definitely. Keith, I got to put you on hold. Don't hang up. Right. I'm going to come right back to you after this break for commercials.
There is an ongoing war right here in America. Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Many people tell us about their experience with Extendivite. Just listen to what Glenn has to say.
Prior to taking it, I had diabetic neuropathy. The Extendivite reduced that significantly. Acid reflux was reduced. I had athlete's foot, very severe. Trimmed that down to about 75%. Dandruff, almost completely gone. I had occipital neuralgia at the base of my skull. I was having migraines, reduced by about 90%. Heart palpitations, my heart would kind of stall out. I would skip a beat. Very uncomfortable. And when walking from downstairs going to sleep, by the time I got to the bedroom, which is just one flight of stairs, my heart was pounding, coming out of my chest. My vision was blurry. This completely solved that problem. Great product. Thanks.
Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Hi, folks. CBD is the home run hitter for health right now. Why, you ask? Because of what it does for the body. Unfortunately, I can't tell you all about the benefit. You know, there's reasons. Do your due diligence and log on to ancientlifeoil.com. That's ancientlifeoil.com. Ancient Life Oil uses organic ingredients and is blended in coconut oil for some of the best benefits. Legal in 50 states and non-psychoactive. Log on to ancientlifeoil.com. That's ancientlifeoil.com.
Do you worry a lot? Whether you're a college student, busy professional, parent, or grandparent, ongoing stress and elevated levels of the stress hormone cortisol can rob your memory, your health, and your future. Now you can combat the effects of stress and anxiety while improving your memory and recall at the same time with the dietary supplement Calm and Clever. Studies show that the ingredients in Calm and Clever reduce cortisol by as much as 30% in 1 to 2 weeks. Call 1-800-758-8746 or calmandclever.com.
What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. Join Mike on the air. Call toll-free 800-313-9443. 800-313-9443.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. And you'll have to forgive me. Is this Keith or Ralph I'm talking to?
Yeah, Keith. We were talking about the culpability.
Okay.
We were talking about the culpability of supporting this. And, you know, when you look at the destruction of Libya with 50,000 dead, almost 500,000 dead, as reported, over in Syria, a lot of that could be inflated for propaganda there. But I always get amazed on Twitter when you look at these constant politicians out there promoting their books. They should basically be reading something like How I Screwed America and Got Away with It. And of course, you know, they're all millionaires. And that's why I was never much into history growing up like that, because I kind of learned geography about who the U.S. was bombing at the time. But we have 112 deaths in this country a day. The homeless is 17.7 per 10,000. We have 41 million people struggling with hunger, including 13 million children, 5.5 million senior citizens. The household debt has soared to $13 trillion. The corporate CEO profit is 354 to 1. 50 years ago, it was 20 to 1. Again, you know, the number of Americans right now renouncing their citizenship is up 560%. And even Gilead Atzmon just said that everyone he talks to in America right now says they want to get out. But, you know, with all the wars and stuff like that, we see all the poverty and stuff that has caused for the infrastructure to decay here in this country here. And nothing's being done about it. And then we see these politicians out there patting themselves on the back. And that's why, whenever they talk about, oh, this is such a great politician, regardless whether they're Republican or Democrat, just look at their war voting record, and you can see where their loyalties lie. And they are willing to strip their own constituents of the needed stuff of our tax dollars to fund these illegal wars. And that's what makes me the maddest of all. So when you look at an event like 9/11, if they're willing to kill Americans, they're also willing to kill millions to keep this federal corporation going. And that's what bothers me the most. And that's why I get so tired of this pluralism. You know, I'm not sending troops anywhere, you know.
Well, I am trying to be mindful of that because I don't want to be wrapping myself in with the collective guilt of what this government is doing.
Well, here's another one. Like I told you about that Jewish kid that's staying out back here that's a former IDF. We was over there with that fireside chat, and I mentioned to him that Hitler didn't kill anyone. And I went on to list the different ones of Mao, Pol Pot, and like that. You know, our presidents and stuff like that, or, you know, pluralism, they're out golfing while they have the troops out there doing the dirty work. And that's when he said something in Hebrew there, and I asked his girlfriend, what was that? She said, grunts. And that's just it. Now the grunts come home from doing all these war crimes. They're sedated on PTSD drugs and into the billions of dollars, and they don't care. The IG report says that 307,000 veterans died waiting for care. I mean, this isn't a government that one can support, and knowing what it's doing, it's taking the rights not only of ours but of others. Anyway, thanks for the call. Okay,
all right, we're going to take a break here for station identification, and I got to work out some technical issues with Twitch, and we'll be right back.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.